I would imagine that guy has every reason to be angry in the world. Or not. Bless your heart, as they say. I would imagine, I don't know about you, but if you were born handicapped, put in a shoebox and abandoned, you'd probably say you have about every excuse to complain in life. You are justified. But you know what I find? It is easy to complain in our storms. It's easy to give up and sink when everything around us seems to be falling apart. This morning I want to talk about what's normal in the church. When the church launched, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he said, go start the church, start the bride, be a beautiful bride. And it began. Now, I asked a group of people Tuesday, a group of seniors in our joy group, if you don't have anything to do on Tuesdays at 11, can I tell you, we have an awesome, awesome joy group Bible study. And I asked, I said, what is the purpose of the church? And they had some great answers. Somebody said, the church is a place just to go in and kind of get, you know, refueled, restored, you know, refreshed, worship, family. What's the purpose of the church? Somebody said, for healing. Somebody said, a place where I can go and be just encouraged, lifted up, and just find that there's a place I can go and be forgiven. And I asked this question. Not individual churches, but the Church of America, does it look like that? And 100% of the joy, we're in agreement. No. So we want people to be involved in the church, but if we say the church in America doesn't look like what we think it should be, well, what should it look like? Well, I think in our series in the book of Acts, act normal. What is normal? Praise ought to be normal. Joy ought to be normal. Amen? Let me say that again. Joy ought to be normal. What I mean by that is this. Amen. Yeah. Hey, I'm with you right there. Let's do this thing together. Because I know that pain happens. I know that there's storms in the world. And good grief, if I were this young man, I couldn't even imagine how you process life. And, you know, this gal from Australia rescued him out of an orphanage. And what's he doing? He's a believer, and he's praising God, and he's thanking God for life. I know when I have pain hits, my wife will tell you I have one of the lowest pain tolerance known to mankind. 2 years ago, the reason I say that is this is true. 2 years ago, after Christmas, all our kids were home, and just as a family, we said, let's go in the evening. We're all here. We got nothing to do. There's a place. There's always a place open at Christmas Eve, or I'm sorry, Christmas Day Eve. It's the movies. I don't know what was playing. I couldn't even tell you. But we took the whole family. We went to a show that evening. About partway through, I looked at my wife. I am sweating uncontrollably. I'm sweating. I have pain. My chest is tightened up, and I'm feeling numb. And I looked over, and finally, I couldn't take it anymore. The next thing I know, I was down on the floor below the seats in pain. I'm having, and I told her, I said, I think I'm having a massive heart attack. I'm dying. We need to go to the hospital. I can't stand. I'm in so much pain. She gets me to the car. We rush to the emergency room. We're there for an hour of testing. I said, just give me something for the pain. What's the purpose of a hospital? To fix what's broke. We go. We don't hang out at hospitals. You don't go, what are you doing today? I don't know. You guys want to go grab a bite at the hospital? Honey, you want to go out tonight? It's Friday night. What do you want to do? Can we go to the lobby of the hospital and just spend 2 hours there? You don't do it. But I'm telling you, when you're on the floor and you're sweating and your heart and your chest are so in such pain that you can't even think, concentrate, or no, I was done. And she takes me to the hospital because I need it. I'm in there. They're doing all the tests. They're going through stuff. Finally, after about an hour, hour and a half, I don't know, it was a while, they come in. They said, we're going to put an IV in you. I said, what's wrong? Am I having a heart attack? I mean, I think I'm dying. And they'd done all these tests. And this doctor, she's about this tall, came in her lab coat. She looked at me and she said, we figured out what's wrong with you. And now the pain medicine has kicked in. The IV's kicked in. Now I'm in happy land. I'm just going to say, that's why drugs should be monitored. I was feeling zero pain, and I'm listening to her, and she said, I said, what is it? Is it my heart? Is it this? Is it that? What's happened? What exploded in my body? She said, you have a kidney stone. She said, I've had three babies. I'm not kidding you. These are her words. She says, I've had three babies, and I want you to know that I'd rather have another baby than a kidney stone. Doc, how big is this thing? She said, well, from the x-rays, it looks like it's about 7 millimeters or half the size of a grain of rice. I said, I'm dying from something so small in my body you can hardly see it. You had to x-ray my body. That's why I was laying on the floor in the theater thinking I'm having a heart attack. She goes, yeah. And isn't it amazing something so small could hurt somebody so big? Come on, church. You got to help me preach today. It ain't Easter. He's already rose from the dead. He's alive. And I'm serving a risen Christ. I've got a God who has reign and authority and power and dominion. And a grain of rice took me down. And I can quote, I can do all things through Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And in that moment, it was not greater is he that is in me. I got a piece of rice in me. You can quote all you want, but there are times in our lives we have a hard time finding the joy in the moment. And can I tell you something? The scripture is very clear. The only reason I go to church and the only reason I go to the hospital, you can have a million reasons. And my question to you is this. Why today in all of the churches, and I've talked to all the pastors, I mean last week was bumper crop. I mean they said it was standing room only. I talked to my father. They went to a third service. I said, you guys had a third service at your church out there? He said, yep. They added an 8:30. I said, were you guys the only ones? They said, no, it was packed. 500 seats were packed for an 8:30 service. Why? Because it was Easter. I almost said Christmas. I know. Yeah. It was Easter. And why is it packed? Because people are going to the hospital for the wrong reason. I'm going because it's the thing to do. See, I don't go to the hospital because it's the thing to do. I go because I recognize I'm broken. And last week, unless people recognize this, I am broken and I need to be healed. I'm sinful and I need to be forgiven. Then I don't have a need for a hospital and therefore I don't have a need for a church. Amen, Pastor. This is good. I'll show you the reason for the church. It's found in one verse. It's in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. This is the reason the church exists right here. Help me, church. It says, for all have... Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're a sinner. Some of you are going, I'm not saying that. It's all right. They already know. Yeah, thank you for telling me what I already know. Now, if you don't know this, this is called righteous arrogance. Church, if you don't know this, that's called righteous arrogance. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I don't need the bride of Christ to be married to God, the groom. I don't need all of that religion. I'm a good person. That's called righteous arrogance. And here's what the Bible says. This is the reason the church exists. For all have sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. The reason the church exists is this. Until we understand that we are sinful, then we have no need to show up on a Sunday, open our Bibles on a Monday, or pray on a Tuesday. Ladies and gentlemen, unless we can recognize that humility comes before honor, Proverbs 18, then we will never know what it is to truly have the favor and love of God in our lives, and we'll wonder why God's not working, because we don't need Him. And where is everybody from Easter? Well, I got to tell you, you guys turned out pretty good. Praise God. And I thank God for the people who showed up last week because they're reaching out. Let me talk about what that means to understand that I'm sinful. I watched a video. My wife woke me up the other morning at 5 a.m. I don't know if your family does this. God has been waking my wife up a lot in the morning for prayers for you, for the church, for life, for things. And I love that God wakes us up to speak to us. And she did this. Honey, are you awake? And I answered, no. What time is it? She said, it's 5 a.m. You have to see this video. I went back to sleep, and I think at 6 I woke up, and I said, where's that video? I opened up. It was a guy, I don't know if you've ever heard of the movie. It was called The Passion of Christ. You remember that? Mel Gibson made that? You should know, it made over $1 billion. It became the number one movie maker in all-time history. He called a guy from the state of Washington to play the part. Here's what he did. He calls this guy from the state of Washington, and he said, will you play the part of Jesus? And this guy named Jim says, I'll play the part. I feel as a Christian, this is my role. And so Jim, thank you, Caviezel. I always want to call him Cavalier. Jim Caviezel said, yes, I'll play it. A few weeks later, Mel Gibson calls on the phone, and I'm watching this video. It's his testimony 2 months ago at the Rock Church in San Diego, California. And he's telling the story. He says, Mel Gibson called me and says, you can't play the part. I'm taking you out of the role. You're not going to be Jesus. He goes, what are you talking about? They're going to rip you apart. Hollywood is going to malign you. They're already saying things about me. Listen, the devil's going to attack you. You are going to find your life is going to get miserable. Satan, John chapter 10, verse 10. Let's bring that up. John 10, 10 says that the devil comes to kill, to steal. He only comes, his entire existence is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what it says. Mel Gibson understands this verse, but Jesus has come to give life. He says, look, they're going to say things about you. They're going to write things about you. They're going to find things about your past, and they're going to tear you up, Jim. You can't do this. And Jim's like, I just feel like I'm supposed to. I prayed about it. God wants me to do this. He said, in that moment, it hit me. He goes, Mr. Gibson, I just realized my initials are JC, and I'm 33 years old. He said, Mel Gibson said, you're freaking me out, man, and he hung up. He said, that's it, we're done. He played the part. Now, the reason I say that to you is this. When they're filming this thing month after month after month, he started out at 220 pounds, and he ended up being 165 pounds when he's up on the cross. He goes, there's a reason for that. I caught a double pneumonia. When they put me up on the cross, my body was blue, not from makeup. At one point, they took me off the cross. A doctor there on site listened to my heart, and they said, this guy's got fluid in both lungs. If we don't stop this filming and get him help, he's going to die. And Jim said, no, this is what God wants me to do. I'm ready to go to heaven. And if I die making the passion about the greatest man on earth, then that's okay. People will get saved when they hear, I died playing Jesus. This is what he said. But what he also said was on the first couple days of shooting, they shot a couple of the torture scenes on the cross. When they're stretching out his arms, on the first week of shooting, they ripped his arm accidentally out of socket. He said, when you see me on the cross, the pain was real. He said, when they were whipping me, he says, you got to understand, the devil was trying to attack me. Remember, he only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't want this message of God's mercy and grace. And he wants to steal the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And so they're filming this thing, and he's at the scene where they're whipping him with 39 lashes, which opened from the back of his neck down to the Achilles, open everything down to the vital organs, and you usually bleed out. The Romans knew this. They were professional killers. And they had 40 lashes said, we've done this so many thousands of times, that will kill a person. So it's called the 40 minus 1 or the 39. They've got Jesus stretched over, and he says when they're filming this, they have three cameras in front of him, so the angles are there. He said, so he's on this post, so you couldn't see the wooden post here, and that's what these guys, and they made the authentic weapons, and the guys who were there are Italian. They don't speak English. So Mr. Gibson's using an interpreter. He says, these guys are whipping, and they're hitting that post, and it looks real, but it's not enough. So Mr. Gibson says, hey, through the interpreter, you need to swing it like a baseball bat. Well, these Italians have no idea what baseball is. So then he interprets and says, I'm sorry, use it like a mallet, a wicket in croquet. In cricket. Excuse me, croquet. Cricket. So the guy goes, the light goes on, and you'll see in the movie the very large guy with a cat of nine, and he runs up to him, and like he's going to use the mallet in cricket, and he swings. He missed the wooden post. He hits James Cavillas, and he hits him in his side, and it opens him up 14 inches, and he drops to the ground. This is what's going on in his life. At one point, he's carrying the cross. This is one of two events. He's carrying the cross up the hill. And these clouds are so low, and it's storming and thundering. And he says as he's doing this, the earth is shaking. There's three types of people. There's the believers, there's the kind of the fence walkers, and there's the atheists in the cast of all these people. He said, at one moment, I'm carrying this cross, and thunder and lightning is going on. And all of a sudden, everybody's looking at me, and they all go to the ground. And at that moment, there were conversions. Every person giving their life to Jesus Christ and converting, he said. At that moment, everyone bowed down because they saw a light behind me and lightning struck me. He says, a lot of people don't know, and he just shared for the first time in February, 33-year-old man had a heart surgery, open heart surgery after this because of the damage of this movie. Do you understand? And he said, but what people don't understand, not only was the devil trying to stop this thing from happening, they showed a scene where he's being raised up on the cross. He's tied his arms out of socket. He's got double pneumonia. His body is blue. He's been struck by lightning already, and they're raising him up on this cross. And they're about to drop this in the hole. And the interviewer said, what were you thinking? And they're watching the video, and he says, left arm, left arm, left arm. They go, so you were thinking about the pain? He says, no. At the moment, all I could think of in all that agony and all that pain is, My sin. And down he went. He said, Jesus did this for my sin. He wasn't thinking about himself. He recognized that all are sinners. All have sinned. And Jesus took this. See, I don't need the church. I don't need Jesus. I don't need forgiveness if I'm a good person. But when I recognize that I need Jesus every moment of every day of my life, it changes everything. This morning, we get to celebrate communion. And my question to you is this, because what will you do in those moments? They grabbed a hold of Paul and Silas, and they were just preaching the gospel. They were preaching the gospel, and they cast out a demon out of a woman who was fortune-telling. They grabbed them, and they dragged them. They stripped them naked in the public square. They took rods and they beat them. That was enough. And it says then they severely flogged them, the same as Jesus, 39 times severely. That wasn't enough. They put them in a dungeon. That wasn't enough. They put them in the inner dungeon, which is a lower dark area that's filled with water and feces and rats. And then that wasn't enough, and they shackled their ankles. Now, I don't know about you, but when you're in that moment, what's your reply in life? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. If you lose your joy, the devil has taken your strength. Keep your joy. They're in that dungeon, and the Bible says in verse 25, this verse, about midnight, Paul and Silas started complaining, man, I can't wait to get out of here. I'm going to kill some people. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to get the. It says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Folks, your response is your responsibility. Let me say that again, folks. Your response, when you're going through hell, your response matters. Why? Because it says, and other prisoners are listening. When you are going through your storm, everybody's listening to hear what you're going to say. Let me say that again. When you're going through hell, it matters what you say. And you are either going to pee-pee or you're going to poo-poo. They prayed and they praised. They prayed and they praised. Now, my wife said, I hope you don't say that on Sunday. I won't. But I said it fits so well, because in our home, that's what we talk about. We pray and we praise. regardless of what's said, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what's going on. Because here it is, that's to the glory of God. Because everybody is listening. And it matters what you say. They want to know, because here it is. You can either pee-pee, pray and praise, or you can poo-poo. And if you poo-poo, you'll stay in the dungeon. But verse 26 tells us, your praise brings God's power. Your praise, suddenly, look at this, suddenly, there was a, turn to somebody and say, suddenly. Come on, turn to the other person and say, suddenly. Here it is, when you start praising, suddenly the earth was violent. Suddenly the foundations were shaken. And at once the prison doors flew open, everybody's chains came off. When you praise God, that's when the chains come off. I don't know about you, but I live in a community where they say it's one of the highest suicide and depression rates among teenagers per capita. It has a high heroin and drug thing. And I thank God. Thursday morning, we prayed for Tim Donlin. Thursday morning, we prayed for Chief Reeves. Why? Because these men are protecting our community. Because people are in chains and bondage. And the chains will fall off when we begin to bring praise and prayer. And we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our first responders. We need to pray in these things. And the Bible says everybody's chains came off. Turn to someone and say, my chains are coming off. Turn and say, your chains are coming off. Listen, I want you to know something this morning, that God is about breaking chains. God is about breaking sin. But if we don't recognize where it comes from, we will never recognize where it's got to go back to. That's the message of Jesus Christ. Easter's over, now what? You know what's normal? Praise. Praise.